Hello everyone, this is Giovanni Brito speaking, and I am your host for Season 5 of the International Voices at Queen's podcast. This episode is recorded on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples. It is my pleasure today to have here in our podcast a graduate student from the Center for Neurosciences Studies at Queen's University. Welcome, Shima Hassanpour.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me here on the podcast. My name is Shima Hassanpour. I'm basically finishing my PhD in the Center for Neurosciences Studies at Queen's University and studying neuroscience. I am focused on investigating altered descending pain regulation in fibromyalgia syndrome and the link to altered autonomic regulation using MRI for understanding the pain processing and the neural activities.
Great, Shima. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having the time to visit our podcast and for sharing a little bit of yourself here. And I wanted to start off this conversation asking you a little bit about your time prior to coming to Canada. You spent some time serving as a practitioner in Iran. So can you please tell me about this time of your life and how the communication aspects of your former position helped you shape the person that you are today?
Yes. Well, I studied general psychology and was mainly focused on working related to my major at the time. I was part of the psychology association at my home university back then, and I was involved in psychological workshops and so on. And yes, I worked from time to time as a counselor, and I cannot specifically talk about my experience as I was practicing, but I would not call myself a psychologist, definitely. So I was a practitioner. After a while of living in my home country, I thought maybe it's a good idea to get to research more and more. I'm not sure if I understand the communication aspects of my professional relationship, what you mean by that, but I believe what I did at the university and how I worked with people time to time helped me a lot to understand what I basically want and how I want to form my research on that. That's why I continued my research. I decided to move to another country and just be a neuropsychologist or work as a neuroscientist more than a psychologist, basically.
Well, you've actually answered really well to my question. I really wanted to know whether, you know, these past experiences helped you somehow to shape you and to give you, you know, traction for your next for the next steps of mm-hmm. your career. So this is really great.
Yeah. So if I want to like completely just get to that point, I thought about changing into research entirely. And to be honest, I decided to do a master after practicing in psychology a bit. Oh. And I don't know how to express my feeling, but I was more interested in studying the brain itself rather than the behavior. I studied how different processes make different emotions, like basically just in the brain. I need to mention that from high school, I was interested in philosophy, Eastern and Western, and literature. So I had a nice background in those areas as well, like human sciences area. And I just wanted to know where all of these thoughts are coming from.
Oh, that's so cool. So wait, so then your passion for science comes from even when you were a kid, maybe?
Teenager?
Teenager? That's cool. Because it looks to me, though, that, you know, you knew what you wanted.
At some point,
at some point, right? And this is something, like, very awesome, actually. You know, when you know what path to take and how to, you know, pick the words that you picked. That's nice, Shima.
Thank you.
Awesome. And well, okay, before moving to Canada, we'll talk about that more in today's episode. But before moving to Canada, you also lived in a couple of different countries. As far as I know, in Italy, in Germany, in addition, of course, to your home country, Iran. So I'd say that at this point in your life, you've had a good experience living abroad and meeting so many different cultures, I'd say. So I wanted to ask you how challenging it was for you to navigate and to having to adapt to so many, you know, different environments and coping to live and maybe speak a different language.
That's actually such a great question. Honestly, I was thinking about this a lot. Living in Iran, Italy, Germany, and now Canada has been a journey of constant adoption. Each country taught me something different, not just about the culture, but also about myself. In Iran, I built my foundation. Italy opened my eyes to new ways of thinking during my master's, and Germany challenged me into research environments that were very structured and precise, like very precise. Canada has been this big mix where I found a balance between academic growth and building a life that I truly enjoy. So it definitely wasn't easy at all to navigating all of that. I've had to learn how to pick up on social cues quickly, adjust my communication style. Language was a huge part of that. I grew up speaking Persian, learned a little bit Italian during my time there, and worked in English, and had to deal with a bit of German too, but I didn't learn German, I just need to deal with it. I'm still working on improving my English for fluency, and especially now I'm planning to do some tests, like English tests again, so I'm still kind of involved in learning languages. What helped me the most was staying curious and open. Instead of comparing cultures, I tried to appreciate what each one had to offer. And honestly, having a sense of humor helped me a lot, especially when I'd mess up a word to get lost in translation. And you know, sometimes you have some words in your own language that they have different meanings.
I know you that know, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Sarcasm, it's a hard thing to have. It's like I cannot be sarcastic that much in English. Like I'm a different person when I'm speaking in English.
Oh yeah.
Than when I'm speaking
I usually say that we have different personalities.
Definitely, I Maybe. Agree with you. Definitely. And over time, I realized that being multicultural isn't just about fitting into different environments. It's about carrying parts of each place with you and letting them shape who you are.
Awesome, Shima. Nice. So now fast forward to 2025. Mm-hmm. You are here at Queen's University as a graduate student. Now I wanted to talk a little more about your research. But the first question I wanted to ask you, I mean, you gave us a little bit about, it was, you know, your goal to really dig more into research. Mm-hmm. You had some experience in Germany, for example, which is awesome. And now I wanted to ask you, why Queen's University?
To be honest, when I was looking for labs that are working specifically on chronic pain, I could not find that many labs in the world. So there are not many labs working on chronic pain, if I want to be more specific. And I found Queen's University, like the lab that I'm working on at Queen's University, and I applied and I talked with the prof. He's great. He's a great supervisor. I got in touch with him more, and I came here. That's how I did it. Like, just wanted to work on a specific area, and I searched on most of the labs in the world, and then I picked Queen's just because of chronic pain, because it's a very specific topic. So I wanted to work with MRI and on this specific topics. And also, if you find like other chronic pain labs, you're not gonna find that many labs who are working on brain stem and spinal cord of the brain. So that's why I'm here.
Awesome. Well,
but Queen's was a great university.
Yes,
so far.
Well, once again, you've just proved how determined you are. I wanna go to this specific place. That's awesome. I wanted to ask you, how was the communication process? I mean, you were in Germany.
Yes, maybe, I was in Germany. At that time, I was in Germany. I just emailed to my prof and my prof at the time, and I mainly said that I'm working with this, and I went to a conference. They were talking about chronic pain, and I have a family history of chronic pain. I want to focus on that area, and I know it happens in brainstem and spinal cord. And he was like, oh yes, and he was very interested. We had a meeting. Yes, we had an online meeting with each other, and we talked about the project and everything. And after 2 months, I applied for the admission. I got it.
Awesome.
I got in, yeah.
And glad for us that we have Shima with us here today. Okay,
thank
so
you.
I believe, Shima, it's now the time to jump into more technical details about your research, which I am really excited about. So you work on the investigation of pain regulation in fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
And using MRI. We do have a couple of technical terms here, folks. So I wanted to ask you, Shima, can you explain a little bit about what's your research about? And also, if you could tell us how closely related your research is to the medical sciences.
Okay, so that's a great summary, first of all. The great summary, because it's very hard to summarize my research at this point. My research focuses on how the brain process and regulate pain in people with fibromyalgia, a chronic condition characterized by widespread pains, fatigue, and cognitive issues, like cognitive difficulties, let's say. What happens and what makes fibromyalgia particularly complex is that it's not fully understood by researchers. It doesn't show clear signs of injury, but patients experience real debilitating pain. I use functional MRI, or basically fMRI, to investigate how certain brain networks, especially those involved in emotion, attention, and pain modulation, function differently in individuals with fibromyalgia compared to healthy individuals. One of the key questions I'm exploring is how the brain's pain regulation system might be altered in these patients, and whether we can identify patterns that explain their symptoms or guide future treatments. As for how it relates to medical sciences, it's very closely connected. Even though I come from a neuroscience background, my work constantly overlaps with clinical concepts. I've had to learn quite a bit about pain medicine, rheumatology, and even like psychology related, like pain psychology to pain management psychology, to make sense of the broader picture. It's definitely interdisciplinary, and that's what I love about it. You cannot really study chronic pain without stepping into fields beyond neuroscience, because pain is both a physical and emotional experience, and it's shaped by everything from biology to past trauma.
Wow, that was a really cool summary of your research. Well, Shima, okay, you are also a science communicator. You run 2 podcasts spreading science to people that might not be familiar with these technical topics, for example. So I wanted to ask you if you could, you know, share with us, with our listeners, a little bit about these projects. And are these projects, these podcasts, a branching from your research? So would you please share with our listeners?
So the podcast that we have in Center for Neuroscience Studies is Think Twice.
Think Twice?
Yes.
Do we have a ad for that podcast on Instagram, for example?
We have Instagram page. We have like Spotify. We have like our podcast Think Twice.
The whole thing,
folks. Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. And my own podcast, I'm still recording it. I have like a full 8 episodes.
Oh,
but
cool.
I
congratulations.
Will record, thank you so much. I will record more and then I will publish it out there.
Oh,
so,
nice. Okay, so, folks. So stay tuned. There's going to be really cool science being shared.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. I wanted to ask you, how do you usually define a topic to bring to your podcast as an episode, for example, Shima?
Okay, so you know what? I'm usually go online and see what people are talking about it right now. Like there are too many things out there about psychedelics, for example. And people start talking about it, like how it is good for chronic pain, it is good for this. and for that, but not that many researchers work on it. Like, we don't have a certain paper to say and clarify that if psychedelics are good for chronic pain, or if they treat, if we can use it as a treatment. I usually find my topics like that. I go online and see how much people are talking
see
about it, how much controversy.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. What he did at the moment, and look at the controversies. And that's the same thing we are doing at Center for Neuroscience Studies with cool topics on neuroscience. But for my own podcast, I'm looking at different things.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like you have a really good plan to really reach people.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate a lot.
Yeah. Like, we also have, like, I am also recording some episode about philosophy.
Oh,
like
that's
how
cool.
Western and Eastern philosophy are different, and talk with some philosophers.
Oh, that's
people
so
that are studying
cool.
philosophy at the university from different cultures. Yeah.
Again, folks, stay tuned for Shima's podcast. Okay, so, and Shima, in addition to your podcasts, and in which I think you use your voice to spread science, you know, and to communicate to people, you also share science using your writings, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but recently you had a paper published in a reputable journal. So, how do you deal with having to, you know, establish a good communication through different, you know, fronts, like written communication and oral communication? How do you usually, you know, develop yourself?
Oh, it's very hard. You should see the first draft of my paper. It's hilarious. I mean,
oh, no.
It is. Like, it comes with practice. With practicing. Writing just comes with practice. Like, we need to practice our writing a lot. Especially when we are, you know, communicating science and we try to talk about the scientific topic, it's very important to be on the road, to just answer the main question that we ask in the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
I talk about the hypothesis. I'm always off the road, you know? When I start writing, I'm always get off the road. And it's very hard for me to write. It just came together with practice, a lot of writing.
Yes.
Like, I have 8-9 drafts of my paper,
oh,
and then
I was going to talk about that, infinite rounds of edits and stuff. We are here at Queen's University. We do have a lot of very smart folks to help us.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, by the way, for example, I also struggle a lot with my writing skills sometimes. Do you ever had to, you know, use some of the resources available at Queen's, for example, at Quick or at SAS? You know, those workshops and stuff.
Writing skill workshops. Yeah. I actually, first year when I came here, I started
there's the thesis boot camp,
I think. I went to one thesis boot camp. It was great.
That's great.
Yeah, last year.
Good for you.
And the first year that I was here.
How was it?
It was great, actually. It was very helpful.
Oh,
because
wow.
At first, when you see that people are also have, you know, they kind of struggling with the same thing.
Yeah.
That makes you like, okay, so it's a real thing, you know? It's not just me. Everyone are struggling with that. At some point, it makes
funny.
Me calm. And
my goodness.
And and also I participated at Quick's classes, writing classes, writing skill classes, and it helped me a lot. For my second paper, I like had 2 drafts of it, and then...
Oh, look. Yeah. So that was quite an improvement.
For sure.
Right?
Definitely.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad that, you know, we have these resources. And people are taking advantage of using
we should
such...
actually.
Oh, yeah. I regret that I didn't have the chance to participate on the boot camp.
I suggest it to everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, again, folks listening to the podcast, this is boot camp. Amazing opportunity to catch up on your
and writing,
writing
classes,
skills.
Yeah.
So that's so cool.
Sure.
Well, Shima... our podcast is coming to an end.
Oh.
It was so amazing having you here, really. Thank you so much for the time, for sharing so many, you know, cool stories. That's
Giovanni,
what I
gotta
say.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, it was a pleasure to have this conversation with you. And thank you, everyone.
International Voices at Queen's Podcast is a supportive listening space for members of the Queen's University community, especially those engaging in language learning and those seeking to increase their intercultural awareness. This podcast is brought to you by the Queen's University International Center and by Student Academic Success Services. The beautiful music that you hear on the background was composed by the musician, composer, and music producer from Kingston, Sadaf Amini.